get to the point where God has us. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is just, we're just scratching the surface of this. This is all, and the Holy Spirit says, this is all I can give you right now. We're going to go deeper on Wednesday night. We're going to go deeper on Wednesday night. But I'm telling you right here, this right here, you need every ounce of your thinking capacity to hold on to this right here. I'm telling you, you get this, this is going to change your life forever. Amen. I'm so excited. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. Then we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When you got in there, say, oh, yeah. Amen. For those still looking, we put it on the screen for you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Follow with me as I read. I'm going to read from the King James, and then I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. The next version, the New American Standard Version, says it like this. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to read that again. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, when she heard her voice, the baby in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to consider for a thought this morning. Did you feel that? Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, did you feel that? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you now in the name of Jesus. Sanctify this gathering. I pray now, God, that you speak through these lips of clay. You think through this mind. Thank you for what shall come forth. Thank you for its impact. Thank you for it's altering our trajectory and taking us higher in the name of Jesus. We love you and we love your word. Let it be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Did you feel that? The verse says in Galatians chapter 4, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Shout heir. Heir. An heir is a recipient of an inheritance. Would we agree to that? An heir is a recipient of an inheritance. If we go to break that down, an inheritance is this. An inheritance is a predetermined possession set to be released to a designated recipient at a specific time of maturity. It's very important. A possession, an inheritance is a predetermined possession. It's what they've already, the one who's giving it has already predetermined what they want to give you. That it's a predetermined possession set to be released at a designated recipient at a specific time of maturity. Help us, Holy Ghost. Now, this definition is congruent with, it's congruent naturally, but it's incongruent spiritually. Because with God, maturity isn't determined by age, seniority, or appearance. God doesn't look at age, seniority, or appearance to say you're now mature. We pass kids in school because physical promotion. Because they get to an age where they're bigger than their class, and to keep them from becoming, number one, a detriment to their peers, and to not give them issues with themselves, they are physically promoted. They're promoted not necessarily because they got the lessons, they completed what was necessary on that level, but because they continue to grow. God does not, he does not count maturity based on how big you are. He does not base maturity based on how much money you have in your bank account. He does not base maturity based on how many years you have survived or lasted. Maturity with God is not the same, not based on the same or have the same criteria as natural maturity. Let me make it plain. In the natural world, if your daddy left you a $500 million estate to be released to you at age 28, and you're now 27 years and 6 months. You're 27 years and 6 months. You're broke, you're homeless, and you're eating out of dumpsters. You still do not get that $500 million estate until 6 months later. Regardless to where you are, regardless of what condition you're in, until you reach that predescribed time, you will not get the inheritance. But with God, maturity isn't determined by age, seniority, or appearance. Look at what it says in verse 1. It says, as long as he is a child. It's important. It's important. Child here, it comes from the Greek word nepios. Y'all getting Greek this morning. Nepios. And nepios is it's a non-speaking infant. It's a simple-minded, immature baby. It's the kind of baby whose head had still got the soft spot. The head hadn't fused together yet. Nepios is that infant child who can't speak for themselves. Simple-minded, immature baby. He says, as long as the heir is a child. And this is an underdeveloped child still needing to know and be taught right from wrong. Amen. He says, as long as the heir. So an heir, the designee of a predetermined possession, as long as they are immature, underdeveloped, and in constant need of basic moral supervision. As long as they need external boundaries and fences to protect them from themselves. He says, as long as they're a child on this degree, their reality and everyday existence is no different from that of a captive slave, even though they be Lord of all. You know those infants, they got to put little gloves on their hands to keep them from scratching themselves. If you're not, those infants, they can become a detriment to themselves. And God is saying, as long as they remain underdeveloped, as long as they remain immature and in constant need of basic moral supervision, they cannot receive the predetermined possession, even though it is theirs. Even though, as a believer, you are a child of God and an heir, and the Bible says a joint heir with Christ Jesus, until you get to the place to where you're no longer a threat to yourself. Because let's be honest, we're our worst enemies sometimes. We're our worst enemies. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations and circumstances that bring havoc and bring harm to our own selves. We think thoughts that hurt ourselves. And the Bible says here, he says, as long as you are that immature and underdeveloped, lacking moral understanding, you are no different than somebody who's still enslaved. Hallelujah. And we wander around wondering, why am I not blessed? Why haven't I gotten and received what I know God has promised me? The question is, have you matured to the place that God can trust you with the predetermined possession? It's yours, but God says, I'm not going to give it to you because you still will hurt yourself. What do you think is going to happen if I give you resources and give you more means? You're going to do more damage. Could that be the reason why we're still walking around in the wilderness? Because we have not got to the place of letting God develop us and mature us. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't yelling. I ain't mad at nobody. But I'm trying to get you to understand. The scripture says, as long as we are children, as long as we stay and remain underdeveloped and immature, we differ nothing from those who are not even entitled to the inheritance. Verse 2, here's God. God reveals the solution. He says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. He says, okay, this child, they're underdeveloped, they're immature. They're still prone to hurt themselves. They need external fences and external boundaries to oversee to oversee that they don't hurt themselves or anybody else. He says, but God, he gives a solution. He gives tutors and governors. In other words, God deliberately locks up our predetermined possession in other people, creating an avenue that previously did not exist for approach and acquisition. I'm working on that. Because God understands, as a child, as an immature, underdeveloped, still prone to hurt yourself, He says, I'm going to lock the predetermined possession. I'm going to lock it into somebody else who can oversee your development. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me bowl it down your alley. Let me bowl it down. God put a voice-activated lock on the inside of every underdeveloped, immature, childish joint heir. Everything stays locked up, shut down, unrealized, and immobile until voice recognition is established. We got these things now. Alexa, do this. Google, do this. And based on your voice, it recognizes and it activates the thing you told it to do. God had to lock on that technology millions, thousands of years ago. He put inside of us a voice-activated system that when the right voice is heard, it opens us up to the things that we already possess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, purpose isn't established for that childish joint heir until those God-appointed tutors and governors start speaking into their lives. Until those tutors and governors start speaking into the lives of those childish joint heirs, nothing will start moving in their life. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, how will I know? How will I know? How will I know when that right voice is coming to my life? How will I know? See, we will know that voice recognition has been confirmed when what they say makes the predetermined possession inside of us leap. What I mean by that, you'll know that the right voice has come into your life when what they say causes something in you to move. You'll know that God-appointed tutor and governor that is able to unlock the predetermined possession has come into your midst when what they say triggers something in you and starts making you do things you would not have normally done. Oh, God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Have you ever been around somebody who said something and what they said was so profound it made you step back and examine yourself? Have you ever been around somebody who said something and they may not have even been talking directly to you? They said something in passing and what they said changed the whole trajectory of your entire life. That is that God ordained tutor and governor that God has set before you to help you mature, to help you grow so that you can now possess what he's already predetermined, that inheritance over your life. It is locked into governors and tutors. You need mentors in your life. You need mentor. You need people who are appointed by God to speak life into you. Hallelujah. Don't take my word for it. Ask the young unwed mother, Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 40. Help me, Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1, verse 40. It says, and entered, speaking of Mary, she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, did you feel that? Elizabeth said, until Mary came, when I heard her greeting, something in me leaped. The baby that was in me leaped. And when you have come in contact with that God-appointed tutor, that God-ordained governor, that one that God has placed in your life to speak over your life. Now, let me tell you this. Let me just balance this. They're not telling you what to do. But they're giving you instruction on how to navigate through the issues that you would face. God has uniquely ordained them to speak in issues and areas that either you're in or you're getting ready to go into. They're not telling you what to do. They're not running your life. But they're making sure that you don't ruin the life that God has given you. Hallelujah. And so when Mary spoke, the Bible says that baby in Elizabeth's womb began to leap. That governor, that tutor that God has placed over us in our childish position, in our immature state, during the times when we would hurt ourselves. That person has a key in their mouth that God has ordained to bring us from where we are to where we're supposed to be. And you know it by how it affects what's on the inside of you. Even if they make you mad, You may never visit their house and cook weenies on the barbecue. You may never go to a Christmas party with them. But what they say will so change your life. You know it by how it alters you, by how it begins to renovate your thinking, begins to renovate your actions. Listen, I'm done. Because I said a lot right now. Some of you need to re-examine the tutors and governors that make your spirit leap, that bring confirmation to your spirit. Many of us have put around, we've heaped around us. Help me, Holy Ghost. We've heaped around us people, individuals that make our flesh feel good, that move us here but not in here, that move us here but not in here. They say what we want to hear, that makes our ears feel good, that makes our feelings feel good, but it has nothing, it doesn't do anything to our spirit. That predetermined possession, God's put in you a gift. And these dime store psychologists, they don't speak to the baby that's in you. They don't speak to the promise that's in you. They speak to your flesh. They speak to your emotions, but they don't speak to your spirit. And you need to recognize right now, do an audit. Who are the mentors? Who are the governors in my life? Who is it? Who is it that when they speak, my spirit stands up? I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to deal with this on Wednesday. But Peter, after Jesus says something that shocked the crowd, and it began to thin out the crowd, because at some point, Jesus will let you follow him, but at some point, he says, I need to know you follow me for the right reason. Jesus says, in order to keep following me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Bible says that not many of them followed him after that. And what Jesus was saying is, he says, are you following me for the fishes and the loaves? Or are you following me because you love me? After the crowd left, he turned to his disciples and says, will you leave too? Peter stands up and says, where else we gonna go? Who else has the words to eternal life? What Peter was saying, he says, Jesus, when you speak something in me, it jumps up. And when I hear your voice, it makes me want to do better, be better. Who are your governors? Who are your governors and tutors that when they speak, it challenges you at the very core of who you are? Peter says, who else going to deal with me and my crazy? Peter knew. He said, Jesus, you know, I'll cut some ears off. Who's going to put up with me and my crazy? Who's going to put up with me and my issues? That person who sees past your issues, who sees past your faults, who sees past the things that you're still broken down in, but still speaks to your spirit. That's the one that's going to unleash the predetermined possession. That's the one that's going to mature you to the place to where you can now receive the inheritance. Hallelujah. Let me pastor you just for a few more minutes. As your pastor, I've been designated by God to be a tutor or a governor in your life. For those of us, those of you who are watching us by Facebook, God bless you. We thank God for you. But unless you have made the choice to be accountable to this house, I am not your pastor. There's no such thing as an internet pastor. Let's deal with that. Unless you made the point of accountability to be accountable to a house, you have no pastor. God has, for those who've made this house your home, I am your tutor or a governor. It's a God-ordained assignment. And to some that means something, and to others it don't mean much. I understand that. You have to give permission for me to speak into your life. Wherever you stand on this truth, it's important to understand that we will always guard what we value. You will always guard what you value. Some of you park all the way at the end of the parking lot, and you'll walk quarter of a mile to get to the store because you value your paint job. You don't want nobody touching you, bumping up against your car because you value your paint job. Well, listen, we will guard what we value. We will guard what we value. Therefore, we have to beware of impressionists, imposters, and masters of deception. That's some folk who will sound like a good governor, who will say all the right things, but if your baby don't leak. See, that's the thing about a predetermined possession, a gift that God gives you. It gift recognized gift. If your baby don't leap, I don't care how good it sounds, that's not your governor. It's not your tutor. I don't care how good the stage presence is. I don't care how good all the production is. If your baby don't leap, that's not your governor. It's not your tutor. Beware of imposters, impressionists, and masters of deception and distraction. These things can silence the God-ordained and God-appointed voices, but they can't, but they can't silence the God-ordained or God-appointed voices, but they can run interference between us and them. Value your tutors. Value your, and if you know me, I don't like talking like this because it sounds like it like I'm benefiting, but I'm telling you, you value what you guard what you value. You guard what you, and you value your voices. You value the governors, the tutors, the people that make that thing in you leap, that make that thing in you come alive. God has ordained it that way. This, and I'm done. I promise you. Come give my notes away. Can't look at them no more. Several years ago, when we first were here, first got here, I say maybe year two, we were at a church that God called us to. We were youth pastors. That's where we met Frankie and Amanda. She didn't know it, but he was already crazy for her. She didn't know it. Pastor Henry Coulter, one of the greatest voices in my life. He was one of the truest prophets and prayer warriors I've ever encountered in my life. He began to speak into my life. He began to show me what prayer really was. I'd get to his house on Saturday mornings. And I get there, sometimes I say, I'm going to get him, I'm going to beat him to prayer this morning. I get there, the door would already be open. He'd already be on his knees praying. And he would pray for hours. He would pray for hours. And he would always start his prayer, "And Lord," like he never stopped. "And Lord." And he would pray. And it wasn't superficial. This day he would pray. I know God was using me. He would pray. He taught me what it meant and what prayer looked like. And he became one of my tutors and one of my governors, like verse 2. One day I wanted to show my appreciation because my young wife had learned to bake a slamming cheesecake. I mean, this cheesecake was phenomenal. Awesome. And I said, I want to share this with Pastor Coulter. And I took this cheesecake because I was proud that my wife had done such a good job, and I wanted to share it with my mentor, and I gave him this cheesecake, and he took a bite of the cheesecake, and he turned his face up. And he said, "This is too sweet," and pushed the cake away. Say masters of distraction. Immediately the devil got me. Who do you think he is? Saying your wife, she toiled and sweated over that cheesecake, and now you can't appreciate it? The nerve of him got in my feelings. And for 60 days, I stopped receiving from my mentor. For 60 days, I no longer allowed myself to be a student of my tutor. For 60 days, I'd come around him, I'd be that center, but I was tight, my jaws was tight. For 60 days, I shut off my spirit to anything he had to say. Master of distraction. And then one day, Holy Spirit, while in prayer, coming to prayer every Saturday, just mad. Who do you think he is? And then in prayer, the Holy Spirit says, "You wasted 60 days. He could have been pouring into you for 60 days. You missed 60 days of instruction because you got in your feelings." And I went. At that point, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I went to go talk to him. And I said, "You know, 2 months ago, you said my wife's cheesecake was nasty. I said, Pastor, I was upset with you. Say, master of distraction. He didn't say it was nasty. He just said it was too sweet. But you know what I heard? Nasty. Because of that, it disrupted my spiritual education and left me for 2 months. It left me in a state of immaturity that I should have been past. And as I began to talk to him and tell him, all of a sudden, what had happened broke my heart. I began to feel what I had allowed to take place, and I started to weep. I started to cry in front of him. Because the Holy Spirit began to share with me, because even at that point, everybody knew it, but nobody wanted to say it. He was dying. He had a leaky lung. He had a hole in his lung, asbestos. And I missed 60 days where he could have poured life into me. And I began to weep and cry. And I felt what I had neglected, because I got in my feelings and I let the master of distraction pull me away. What things have you allowed to get in front of your tutor? What things have you allowed to get in front of your governor, the one that God has appointed and ordained to take you out of immaturity and out of simple-mindedness and out of a place where you're constantly beating up yourself and hurting yourself? What have you allowed to come in between you and your teacher? The word of God to you today is, if you've allowed anything to come in between your tutor, your governor, and that don't just mean me, but there are other tutors and other governors in your life, if you've allowed anything, get it right. Because if you tell the truth to yourself, for as long as you let that thing get in between you and your tutor, that's how silent your baby has been. That's how silent your baby has been. And you're blaming on the church, and you're blaming on this, and you're blaming on the job, and you're blaming on this, when it's because you've not allowed yourself to be tutored and governed by a God-appointed tutor and governor. He says, as long as he stays immature and destructive to himself, he's no different from a slave. Which slaves? What slaves are we talking about in the spirit? He's no different from somebody who doesn't even know God. You wonder why believers, you know they're believers, why they still suffering the same issues that unbelievers suffer? Because they choose to stay in immaturity. Though they be Lord of all, though their faith could elevate them out of this, but because they stay immature, as we come to the end of this year, I want to speak. And as we have graduations, I need everybody standing. As we have graduations, we got graduations in the natural. People are graduating. They're earning their degrees. Some of you, I'm telling you right now, some of you, it's time for you to come out of kindergarten. It's time for you to come out of the rudimentary, the elementary things of faith. God's expecting you to lay hands on the sick, but you can't even pray yourself out of a headache. God says you're the head and not the tail, and you keep saying, it's the white man that's got me lit. No! It's time to graduate. It's time to graduate. God has given you tutors. He's given you governors. Let them teach you. Let them train you. Here's how you know: when that baby leaps, when that predetermined possession, it stands up and says, that's the one. That's what I need. If your baby's not leaping, that's not your governor. It's not your tutor. If you don't leave their presence contemplating where you are, I'll tell you, every encounter with them won't be a pleasant one. Every encounter won't be a pleasant one. But it will change your life. It will get you close to the purpose. So my question, my prayer for you is that you get to the place to where when they speak, you got to ask. It's so tangible that you ask somebody else, did you feel that? Did you hear what they just said? God help us to get to the place of maturity. We're not just boasting about being joint heirs, but we're actually recipients of the inheritance, possessors of the inheritance. Help us with our approach and our acquisition. We thank you for the God-ordained tutors and governors that you placed in our life. Give us ears to hear their voice when they speak. As a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. Scratch that. Give us ears to hear your voice when they speak. Give us ears to hear your voice when they speak. And give us the courage, Lord God, to walk away from every imposter, every impersonator, and every master of distraction. We thank you now. We give you praise for the victory that already is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise.